I realize I don't think I've heard this one ever before.
I don't know if this has been in the show yet. This is from the season 6 DVD menu.
Sacre bleu, spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler. She says la la this way.
Rory's dead.
Rory's dead. Rory's dead. Rory's dead. This is a special Gilmore Guys. Welcome to Gilmore Guys, I should say. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Gilmore guys. And we wanted to do, per your request, a very special episode recapping the events and happenings of ATX in the festival, the reunion panel, our shows, blah, 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 yada, 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 Seinfeld. So I guess we can start from the beginning. This came together. It was kind of weird because we had someone from the festival reach out to us months and months and months and months before the festival, like before the festival was. So I guess it was like maybe January.
Yeah.
Someone was reaching out to us. And that was a woman named Walita, who's one of the volunteer coordinators there. And she was kind of, you know, she was so helpful. And she was so helpful actually in getting us volunteers for our ATX shows at the Highball, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But that was our first point of contact. And because ATX is such a small festival, it's only in its fourth year. This was like the biggest thing they've ever done. So this was a lot for them to take on. Just in general, all the events and all the panels, it was their biggest year ever, only in its fourth season. So the good and bad of that is like the intimacy that the festival has, but then the bad of it is that it took a while to like get the communication going between us and them. And for a while, for a good while, we did not know if we'd be coming at all, if we'd be credentialed, if we were doing shows. And so we just kind of bought tickets in good faith, plane tickets. We're like, yeah, we'll figure it out later. So that's what we did. And I got there a little bit before Demi. I got there Wednesday. Demi got there Friday. And the kickoff events and all the parties and stuff, I guess, happened Thursday. So I don't know if I'm even going to play this, but I did do the red carpet of the opening night.
Right.
And it's like, why are you dead? Like, this is for the Gilmore Guys podcast. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So I talked to people like Robert Rodriguez and... Actually, you know what? I had a great conversation with that I will play?
Who?
Is Luann Stevens. Grandma Saracen from Friday Night Lights was there, and she was so, so sweet and so kind. Like, everyone else was like, blah, you know, my show, promotion, da-da-da, and, you know, doing the thing of red carpets, which we'll talk about more in depth in a little bit. But Luann Stevens just came out to me, and she was like, well, Kevin, I'll play the clip for you.
I probably won't be very interesting at all. I got up at 4:20 and left Santa Fe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, then they have to drive you to Albuquerque, fly to Dallas, get here.
You're fine. We'll just wait.
Whatever.
It out. Yeah, we're good.
Wait till I wake up.
I'll just stand here until you wake
but
up.
But the thing about Grandma Saracen.
What's your favorite Robert Kingston?
Well, you know, actors to me, you know them just like with people in their relationships with other people. You look at how they act and what they do. And that relationship with the grandson, you just don't see that.
Yeah.
And such a sweetheart he was.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful grandma-grandson relationship that you don't get to see on TV that much. Because ATX is, the festival is such a celebration of great TV. What are some family relationships that you saw on TV shows or in movies growing up that you really love to watch?
Well, that's a good question. I'm upset that all the relationships are so, and people are so evil. Like, I just watched House of Cards, binge watched it. I mean, really, come on. And then I love The Good Wife. We are not up with the final season. But again, there you have, well, not as bad, but you have everybody looking out after themselves, you know. And that you contrast that with Friday Night Lights, where, yeah, you had a lot of screwed up people, but it seemed like they cared about each other.
There was such a core of warmth and love and stability at the center of the show.
I don't mind plays or shows that have all this stuff in them, as long as there's some hope. But, man, I don't see any hope for the
How for the Underwoods, yes. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever watched Gilmore Girls, that television show?
I haven't. And I know, isn't that terrible? Because I know it's a big deal. There's so many things I haven't watched. Well, actually, I watch hockey and sports, and so I don't have much time for TV, but now I'm getting caught up.
Right.
So you recommend that?
I would recommend that if you want to see wonderful family relationships on TV. It's a mother and daughter who are best friends with each other because the mother had the daughter when she was a young lady, when she was 16 years old. So they're very close in age, so they're best friends, and it's all about their relationship and how close they are and all the ins and outs of that.
I will definitely watch that.
You should check it out.
You probably changed my life.
Oh, I hope so. Well, we thank you so much, Miss Stevens and Mrs. Saracen. You're a grandma that we all look at and look to in that TV show. And
I can't wait till tomorrow night. I get to see all the people, and they tell me about their grandmothers, and they tell me last year somebody had a piece of a paper sack. Could you write to my grandmother? She's got Alzheimer's. And I mean, it really touches me.
That's so lovely, and it's so wonderful to see. And you know, speaking to that, do you hear a lot of those stories? Like, having been a part of the festival for a couple of years now, you're practically a regular, and you experience that, and you experience people who, like, emotionally connect to you. I think there's a great quote from Jason Kams that says, when he looks at you and your performance, sometimes he just weeps.
Oh, well, yeah, I feel an extremely, maybe just because I'm not a big star and I don't have all this stuff going on, but I feel such a connection with these people. That's why I keep coming back. I'll keep coming back as long as they want it, and as long as I can walk, you know, or get around. I'm getting more Miss Saracen's age now because we quit in 2010.
Right. You know. So. Well, Miss Stevens, thank you so much for talking with me.
So I did that, and thankfully, I mean, the other thing is I you know, I have a lot of friends and some family in Austin, but I didn't really have, like, anyone that I knew that was going to the festival and participating all the events. So for the first, like, couple of days until Demi got there, I was just hanging out with Sarah Ramos basically the whole time because they were maybe going to do a parenthood thing, but then it didn't happen. And so we were just like, oh, we're here. And she was shooting a movie in town. And so thankfully, because I would have, like, lost my mind or gotten super bored and stuff. So we did that in the opening carpet thing. That was just kind of an exercise for me, like, just get good at talking about, you know, on the red carpet, because it's such a very specific context, which we found out when we did the red carpet for the closing night. So Friday morning, I guess it was, I went to the Bunheads panel. Amy Sherman Palladino, Stacey Orestano, friend of the show, Kelly Bishop, and Sutton Foster. And it was moderated by a guy named Jared Weisselman from BuzzFeed, who's really, really great. I was actually maybe the most impressed out of all the panels I saw, which, by the way, was only three because we were working the whole time. But out of the three panels I saw, I thought he did the most phenomenal job, I think, because he displayed, I don't know if they've put it up on the web at this point or if it's, you know, live, but he was so good at, like, he had an expertise in the show and he knew it inside and out, but he was also asking engaging and interesting questions. And I think with Bunheads too, there's probably a lot more fresh angles to take with it because it's not a show that's been talked about to death. It's like, it's still this kind of weird anomaly. And what thankfully they did, I thought it was going to be Q&A and then screening or screening Q&A. And what it was is they did a Q&A and then they interspersed it with clips. And this, of course, was my first time seeing the queen in person, Miss Kelly Bishop, which we'll talk about more on the next episode. But so did that. And that might have been, I don't know. I don't know if it was my favorite event to go to, but just because it was so small and it still felt like such a secret club, it was one of the most fun things to attend. And Amy was just her boozy, broad sort of self. And it was... I'm not saying she's drunk. Oh, maybe she was drunk. I don't know. It was at the Alamo Drafthouse Ritz. They served us weird iced coffee with a slight hazelnut metal tinge to it. Who knows? And then, so did that. And actually, I think I have a clip I can play now, which was like, because Sarah came with me, and this was her first time seeing any of the Bunhead stuff. So it was kind of, for her, kind of revelatory and seeing the clips and kind of getting engaged. And I think we both cried at some of the stuff that they played, which was really funny and super fun. But man, it made me miss that show a lot. So I'll play a clip, like, I think it's like a minute long of us walking down the street after that screening.
So we just saw the Bunheads ATX panel. Uh-huh. What are your thoughts? So Sarah's never seen the show. I've seen all of it except for the last three episodes because I can't say goodbye. What was your feeling? What was the vibe?
Okay, I cried the whole time. I cried. I was kept crying the whole time. I'm obsessed with Sutton Foster now.
I almost cried like five times. Didn't cry, but I almost cried like five times.
I was emoting the entire time, totally.
Yes.
It was so good. The dances were so good. I don't understand dance at all.
The dances are extraordinary. You know what struck me watching it is I think on a technical level, it might be better than Gilmore Girls.
Wow.
Just like tech-wise, because of the way they shot it, even though they had so much less money, it was so confident in what it was doing,
right.
And it knew how to shoot dance in a way that I feel like so many shows don't get. It's like what Glee was supposed to be in a way, you know?
Oh, right. Well, but Glee's like so much campier. Ugh, I don't like Glee.
Yeah.
I don't know. Amy Sherman was wearing a hat. I loved it.
She was wearing one of her crazy hats.
She was wearing cowboy boots.
Yeah.
And a sheer skirt. And she just had it. Like, when I'd seen photos of it, of her hats online, I was like, oh my God. But like in person, I'm like, you know what? You can
hell
wear
yeah.
it.
Who did she?
Whatever you want.
Let's list all of her sick burn. Sick burn on ABC Family.
Oh, yeah.
Sick burn on The Biggest Loser.
Sick burn on waiters who check their phones while they're taking their order.
Yeah. Sick burn on her mom, I think.
Oh, because she...
Yeah.
And anyone who has their mom's ass. Sick burn
yeah.
on that.
Gosh. She referred to all of the underage girls on her show as... their boyfriends, which was an interesting
the
choice.
Characters. I think that's true. I don't get it.
It's true. I just think it's a little weird to think about
it's
when it's like
taboo.
They're so young. Well, yeah. I don't know.
That's happening. That's real.
I know it's real, but is just such a
bold verb. Chased Gilmore Girls.
No, I'm just saying. No, and I actually like how
roaring.
Much more. No, I like how much more sex positive Bunheads
right.
is too.
Right.
Like that they actually explored that in a way that was like.
I'm also
healthy.
Obsessed with the girl Sasha.
Sasha, yeah.
Is she
Julia?
Anything else?
Yeah, she's on The Affair on Showtime right now.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it was just really inspiring. I was into Stacey's character too.
Yeah. Well, you should come on. Well, let's watch Buttonheads together.
I know.
In like 8
desperately
months.
Desperately need to. And I need to watch Younger. I'm obsessed with Sutton Foster.
Yeah.
Didn't know who she was. She's friends with Lauren. How are they friends?
And she's perfect looking, right?
I mean, she's
kind of perfect looking, yeah.
I was like, sick burn on Sutton Foster's perfect career.
Yeah, she was pissed.
She was like, Sutton's the kind of person that you like, you're just like, don't tell me about your career. Like,
that. Yeah,
which I totally
man.
Think is amazing.
Amy just speaks her mind. And it's
obviously.
Great.
She is a genius.
All right, well, this has been episode 00 of Bunhead Bros. I'm Kevin.
I'm Sarah.
And we're gonna go away now.
So anyway, some other stuff
happened. That was
happened.
A great clip, I want to say.
Thank you.
Yes, lovely clip.
Yes, we are playing all the clips live as they occur.
Nothing edited in.
Definitely not cheating on that. And so Friday night occurs, some other stuff happens I'll talk about later, but then Demi gets in, you get in Friday night.
Yes.
And you come straight from the...
straight from the airport.
Is it really straight
yes.
from the airport?
I was heading to a friend's place, and then you texted me saying there was a Hep Alien show, and I was like, okay, I will check in with my friend later, and headed straight to the San Jose Motel.
Yeah, I think, and thankfully they did announce it like an hour before, but I know... It was kind of a weird thing because it was a Friday Night Lights tailgate, which I think they do or they try to do every year mm-hmm. with that show just because of the strong Austin connection. And so many of those people live around there and it's easy to do and get to. But it was a Friday Night Lights tailgate and they said, oh, you know, Delta Spirit or whoever it was is going to do the music. And nowhere on the itinerary in the months and the weeks, really in the days leading up to the thing, did they say, oh, and by the way, Hep Alien's doing a thing. But they did.
Yeah.
And so Daniel Palladino comes out and intros it in this weird character. Like, I think he's 60s guy. I think that's how Jackson Douglas.
Oh, is
Douglas,
that who that was?
That was Daniel Palladino.
I don't know why I didn't know that.
You didn't.
We met Daniel Palladino very briefly before that, but for some reason I just did not recognize him. And I was just like, oh, cool, 60s dude. And then, but yeah.
Yeah, it was him. Because there was a talk at one point like that we would maybe intro them, and I was like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what John Cabrera suggested when we were talking about it, but that didn't come to pass. And it became like a weird well, not weird, but it became kind of a territorial thing where, like, Emily from the festival was like, I'll introduce the introduction. And then she introduced Jackson, who introduced Daniel, who introduced the band. It just became like this weird layered thing. And so, yeah, it's okay. It's okay that we didn't do it.
Yeah.
And they played and they sounded really good.
They were incredible.
1, 2, 3. If you're out on the road.
Show in general, it was so strange to see. This is, by the way, and they talked about this before, but this was the first time they had ever played more than like 20 seconds at a time. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, it was the first time they played a whole song start to finish. And so they had the real life Dave Rogowski, husband of Helen Pye, mm-hmm. backing them up on guitar. And I forget the other guy's name, the guitarist's name. I'll edit it in right here.
Gerard Garcia.
There was one other guitarist.
There was?
Yeah, there was another guitarist who was...
How much of this did I not notice?
I don't know, now that we're talking about it.
Huh.
Keiko Ogeno was on drums. Did you notice that?
I did.
Okay.
And Sebastian Bach was there?
No, unfortunately. Yeah, Sebastian couldn't make it because of scheduling issues and reasons. And this is the first time Demi experienced this. I'd experienced this a little bit. But talk about... And we don't have to, because it's probably gross to like linger on too much. But it was so funny, and I assume this is the only time this is going to happen for us. I assume. It's just that weekend and that night when you showed up to the venue, getting recognized by people.
That's happened to me a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the show.
Oh, wait. I thought you said this was the first. Never mind. It is. Never mind.
It happens to you a lot?
It does.
For the show?
Well, for the show and for Vine and Twitter mm-hmm. stuff, but yeah.
Well, okay, so it was the first time for me because I'm a nobody. For Demi's used to it because he's a celebrity, but...
Funny enough, it's happened way more because of the show. Every time I go to UCB, someone recognizes me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, from the show.
It makes sense because it's such a crossover.
And it's always great, by the way, if you guys ever see us and, you know, that's... Cool. That's very nice of you.
Here's what I would say, too, about that. If I can just add in my 2 cents.
Please do.
Because this happened in Austin. It's happened a few times here. And it's flat. It's not weird. It's not really an issue. But sometimes I'll get a tweet like, just saw Kevin at the bookstore. And it'll tag me on it.
Yes.
So for that, I would say, you could come up and say hi.
Right. That's way better.
Way better than like... I saw you at Starbucks getting a caramel macchiato.
On one occasion, and I don't think this person
would listen to the show,
so it's fine. On one occasion, someone tweeted a picture of me that they, like, in public, and they're just like, just saw at Electrolemon at some place, and I was just like, why didn't you say anything? And also, don't take a photo of me. That's real weird.
It was straight, yeah, like the sneaky photo thing?
Yes.
Like, that's some Jennifer Lawrence shit.
Even then, I feel it. I don't know. There's a weirdness to it with celebrities, too. Like, I understand that, like, you know, they're celebrities. They expect, like, still, it's a weirdness to.
No, there should still be boundaries. Yeah. And
anyway, we're not celebrities.
I mean, I would even take the Louis C.K. approach to it, too. You know that thing?
Of him not wanting to take photos with people?
He doesn't like to take photos. I mean,. This is so gross to talk about. We'll take a photo with you.
Actually, we are the same as Louis C.K.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, that's the point we're trying to make. But no, he... And it's something like... I try to, when we meet people that are heroes to us or we look up to or we're big fans of, I try to take this approach so much. He's like, I won't sign anything and I probably won't take a picture, but I'll talk to you.
Right.
Like, if you want to connect, sure. Like, let's do that. And so... Also, what I want to talk about on Friday. Okay, on Friday, too.
About how we're heroes to people?
Yeah. Oh, just about the set. It was so cool to see, like, so, you know, Todd Lowe is a guitarist. Like, he's a guitarist, a vocalist. He's so great. Keiko's great at drum.
She really is.
Like, And I hopefully what it did, and what the band's hoping too, I think on some level, is salivating people's appetites for more. I can say this, there actually have been talks of like doing a Hep Alien reunion thing somewhere here, somewhere in town, maybe at the Sunset Strip or another music venue that possibly we'd host, and maybe it'd be like a charity thing and they could get Sebastian for it. So hopefully that'll come to pass before, sooner rather than later. I almost said before the end of the show. But in a way, the show will never end. Because it lives in here.
Also because season 8 is confirmed.
Yep, and because season 8 is confirmed.
Right, right.
Yeah, as we found out.
exclusive.
Yep. Gilmore Guys exclusive. Oh, here's a fun story I'll tell.
Mm-hmm.
For one reason or another, I don't know, I'll keep the details vague on it because it feels weird to get to.
Do I know the story?
Yeah.
Okay.
So before Demi had gotten into town, I did meet Amy briefly. Like, mm-hmm. we didn't, like, talk forever
right.
or anything. But, you know, I said, hi, I'm from Gilmore Guys, blah, blah, blah. And she kind of gives me the up and down and smiles. And she says, oh, I've heard all about you. Just like that.
Yeah.
And kind of like in a sly, coy, playful, but then also, do you hate me?
Right. When Kevin told me this, I was like, we're ruined.
No. So, and I think it's good. I think it's good because we got confirmation later at the after party, but we'll talk about that later. I keep teasing things that we're about to talk about.
Yeah, it's not anything super juicy. Like, no. We didn't get scoops, you know?
Yeah, there's no scoops. There's no ice cream.
We had very nice conversation with lovely people.
Yes. So Amy gives me the up and down, and she's, like, familiar, because I'm sure, like, Mar and Jamie, like, put in the good word with her, and they've been such wonderful advocates for this podcast and for the show in general. Like, they're like the most lovely people. They came to our live show last week, which was super fun. So we had met earlier. At this point, she had not met Demi. Or no, she met you briefly.
She met me. Well, I met her after you had met her.
Right. Yeah. At the venue.
Very briefly.
And so afterwards, a few of us go out. You actually took off because you had limited time to like see all your friends because I'd been in town a few days before and I was staying a few days after you. But you had limited time to see your friends. So you went to see them. And I and some of the band, well, actually all the band, went out to go eat. We went to Guero's. I don't need to say specifically.
Shout out to Guero's.
Yeah, I don't need to say specifically.
You got great tacos.
We went out to eat. And so I didn't know what the group was going to be. I just knew Keiko and John and Todd were going to be there. And so I was hanging out with Keiko. This is such a, like, a D-bag story. But I was talking to Keiko, right? And then who should appear? But actually, I was starting to sound like Quentin Tarantino on that. I was talking to Keiko, all right? And so we're talking, and we're at a place that serves drinks. And Amy glides up to me and puts a salted margarita in my hand and glides away without
classic
saying
salted
anything.
Mark slide.
So the salt mark slide.
A textbook
as well, no.
Paladino move.
So at this point, I haven't had a drink in over 2 years for various reasons, but mostly because I just didn't, like, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem, Demi, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Great. As long as we can agree.
Should I send all these people home? Intervention canceled?
Yeah.
All right. I'll take down the banners. You keep talking.
So it had been a while since I had a drink.
He's laughing just in his head. I feel the programming of him trying not to say it's been a while.
I know. It's hard.
It's so funny, though, because I feel like the real intervention would be to get us to stop thinking in those terms of, like, it's been a while. Oh,
yeah.
Like a Pavlovian response.
Yeah. So she puts a margarita in my hand. I'm like, well, I can't turn this down.
Of course.
I just can't. Look, she's buying everyone drinks. Everyone drink more. And she was real intent on it at the table.
If Amy Sherman Palladino offered you heroin, you take off your belt and tie off.
Oh my gosh. No, I wouldn't.
You take off your belt and tie off. Kevin, she made Gilmore Girls.
Okay, I'll do it. Oh, no.
No.
So I did. And then I had another drink. And then I woke up 3 days later and went a long, strange
no
trip.
No kidding,
it's been.
In an ice box.
But no, it was great. And I, you know, and it was really one of those moments where I was like, you got to do it for the story. this may never, this is a weird, surreal daydream of a weekend.
Right.
You're hanging out, people are buying you drinks, blah, 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 da, da, da. And so I did. And then, so now, because we've talked about before, people are like, do a drunk episode where you get drunk and do Gilmore Girls. And the answer to that is still no.
Yeah, I don't think that would be as fun as people think it would be.
I think people over, you know what I think it is too? I think people overestimate how hilarious they are when they're drunk.
Yes.
I've never met someone and said, man, you're way funnier when you're out of control of your senses
also,
and motor skills.
I think all of my friends would agree. I'm either a sad drunk or just the kind of drunk where it's like, I will try to go to sleep rather than be active. So it would just be like me trying to sleep through an episode every time they say Gilmore. It's like, gotta take another drink.
Yeah. And see,
I'm going to go to the bathroom for a bit.
Maybe we can have a drink or a cocktail like gentlemen do when we're watching the show sometime. But I don't think there's any, there's no point in doing a drunk episode. And that's all I'll say about that.
We could do a high episode.
Oh, yeah, bro. Someone tweeted us today. My mom listened to your show and said, these boys must be high or something. Oh, the tweet is, my mom listened to this with me and said, these guys must be so high.
I don't think I have smoked weed since we have done this show.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
So that was Friday. So Saturday comes around. There's the Coffee with Amy event, which... the Coffee with Amy event was crazy, by the way, in terms of how long people, I think people start camping out like 2 a.m. or 5 a.m.
They were there for a long time.
So we had press credentials, but like because of miscommunication, I was there and Demi wasn't, unfortunately, for the Coffee with Amy event. And that was cool just because it was like such a small setting and it was so intimate. And it was just, you know, by the way, I think the only guys in the room, the only men were myself, Jackson, Daniel, and then like one other dude in the back, and maybe like a photographer
and
or something.
And I'd count like Daniel and Jackson each as like...
they're mulligans.
It was two and a half men in that room.
Oh, great show. I hope they do a reunion panel for that next year at ATX.
Fingers crossed. Charlie Sheen, we love you. Come on the show.
That festival would be winning. You know what I mean? Winning. That's still fun. That's still a funny thing.
Oh, winning. Yeah. I love all those quotes from a mentally deranged man.
Oh, so sad. So that was fun. My favorite part of that was, well, I'm putting this, she had the coffee and she said, well, I'm putting this down. Should have been called cold coffee with Amy. So she was just like razzing on the whoever was providing the coffee. I guess it was lukewarm or something. Luke Dane's warm.
I was about to say lukewarm is good.
Hey, yeah, lukewarm. I'm surprised there hasn't been a lukewarm joke on this show yet. Maybe they're getting to it and I forgot about it.
Maybe. Season 7, that's when they busted out all the lukewarm puns.
All the bad puns. Season 7 is if I'd written it. like Luke says, Lorelai, it's been a while.
A lot of walk and talks.
Yeah. There's already a good amount of walk and talks. They're more just like strolling talks. Yeah. Whereas in West Wing, because of the gravitas and on Sorkin shows, they're like really fast walking.
Mr. President, you need to sign this.
Yeah. And they're handing off things to each other. This is more like stroll around the gazebo 3 times.
I could buy this entire coffee place and turn it into my ping pong room.
Oh, man. I love that scene where Mark Zuckerberg comes to Star Solo. So that was the Coffee with Amy event. And then the big event, and unfortunately, like, there were so many panels I think we wanted to go to that we weren't able to.
Yeah.
Because we had press credentials, and we could have gone to a lot of this stuff. Like, I wanted to go to the Hannibal panel, the Simpsons thing, James L. Brooks.
I had tickets to both of the Dan Harmon panels. And
Dan Harmon, Drunk History. But because we were, like, prepping for our shows the next day, we weren't able to do that. But what we did do... before the actual reunion panel is work the red carpet.
That we did.
So we need to talk about this. And we do explain a lot of this on, you know, in the actual audio of us being there. But red carpets are not ideal.
No, they're not.
I don't think they're ideal for anybody, for either the talent or the people, you know, the photographers, the journalists, press. Who are assigned to cover them. For us, it was one of those things where it's like, this is kind of not once in a lifetime, but it's a very rare opportunity.
Right. There aren't many Gilmore Girls festivals.
Right. Not yet. I mean, Scott just did Australian Comic Con.
Yes.
You saw that, which just looks really cool. But so we ended up requesting to do the red carpet for the reunion panel, because also too our thinking, which is funny because of what ended up happening, is like Alexis Bledel will probably not do the show.
No
bit sound like she. It's probably not gonna. There was like. She doesn't do interviews.
I'm starting to think she canceled on us 21 times just to not do it.
You know, I'm starting to think that too.
Right.
And so we're like, okay, let's cover it. Let's do it. We can talk to all these people who we want to talk to. Like, and again, just for festivals in general and with red carpet stuff like this, this isn't the ideal setting. The ideal setting for us and the place like we feel like we thrive is, you know, either in the studio doing our show or live shows doing our show. Same where you have more than literally two questions, which is all we had. We only had two questions for each person that we talked to. And sometimes they came in trios. So it was Olive Hep Alien, or it was Jackson, Liz Torres, and Yannick Truesdale together, which is kind of fun because of the group dynamic and stuff. But this is more like the way we approached it too. And you'll hear us kind of like... You can hear the moment at which we kind of give up on having a moment. Like, because you want to have fun, and you want to do something fun, and you want to take advantage of the opportunity. So we had two questions, and we thought, okay, the first question, we'll try to make it some sort of real thing. Like,
yes.
How does it feel? Like, although I hate...
Where do you get your ideas?
Yeah, what comes first, the music or lyrics? Even though I hate questions like, oh, isn't it crazy that people are still talking about this?
You can't get, like, introspective on a red carpet. It's got to be fluff questions.
Yeah.
But we did our best, and I think we nailed it in some cases, to get questions that were a good mix of thoughtful and not too heady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my favorite, truthfully... I think the highlight for me was talking to Liz Torres about the show. Because I just said, oh, do you have a favorite day of working on the show or a specific memory? And we'll play that.
She had a great story.
But then for the second question, we're like, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? Let's just totally whiff this one.
Yes.
And let's just ask some dumb bullshit question like, what's your favorite song or something? Like almost trying to do a parody of what a red carpet is.
Yeah.
I think we failed and succeeded in equal measure on some of them. Because some of them, it's like you don't want to ambush the people too. It's hard. It's hard to like balance doing red carpet stuff well.
Right.
And you can hear as it goes on, like we start to loosen up and get maybe a little more playful with different people. And, you know, I wish there were some questions I asked differently. And yeah, Demi, I have regrets. I got a lot of regrets. And a lot of it is just us narrating what's happening. So let's listen to some of that now. And I think it'll speak for itself. 45-second podcast. You ready for this?
A 45-second?
We got to get the most insight in the least amount of time.
I think you have pretty high standards for us being able to talk for 45 seconds.
Right.
But I'll be impressed if we get 45 seconds.
They talk so fast and they talk so true. We got
to
pull a Gilmore
to
tonight.
Eliza. I will be impressed if I don't just go, up,
this
you're
is true.
Good. You're, yes. good on, you're good on the show. So.
We're the Gilmore guys here live on the red carpet, and we're going to do a quick 45-second podcast with the great Liza Wild. Now, Liza, when you were working on Gilmore Girls, did you anticipate... I sound like a jerk. Something lasting 15 years later in the conversation. Did you imagine that two 20-year-old, 20-something dummies would be talking about your brilliant
work?
Well,
one 20-something dummy and one 20-something genius.
Sure. All these years later.
No, I didn't. I don't think you can ever really anticipate those things. So, no, this is very... This is very lovely and overwhelming and beyond anything I could have ever thought would happen. But it's very nice.
Very nice. Very nice. Very good. And also our second question. We want to make this a real impactful question. We only got two. So our second question is, have you tried the queso in Austin, Texas yet?
No, I haven't. I just got here this morning, but I've heard you guys talking about the queso.
Yes.
And
when
have
we
you?
Talked about the queso?
Wait, did we?
I talked about it a lot, but
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
I've heard you talk about the queso. Have you tried it yet?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's lovely. We're both from here, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I haven't, but maybe tonight.
Hopefully.
Maybe this is a Gilmore Guys exclusive. We nailed this question. Liza Wild is going to try the queso
tonight.
Check
the headlines tomorrow.
You heard it here first. Liza, thank you so much
for
joining us.
Thank you so much.
Nice to see you guys.
You as well. Hope to see you again, of course. You hear that we got a sweet exclusive. Have you tried the queso? And she's going to try the queso
tonight.
Guys,
we're going to figure out if everyone is trying the queso tonight.
Okay.
So,
by the way, again, this is not the final word on any of these wonderful people. Like, we hope to, and you can hear us, like, making plans on mic. Like, we hope to talk to all of them again.
Yes.
In the better setting, which is here.
Yeah,
you know?
In a setting where we're not as flustered trying to make the most of a 45-second situation.
Yeah, and not where Demi feels like he's being put on trial for the queso.
Where I, more when I... What? Queso? I don't remember. Oh, God. I felt like such an asshole because my response made it feel like I was being like, we've never talked to... How dare you? But I was really just trying to think out loud, like, queso. Do we talk about queso a lot? But, I don't know. That was weird, but it was very lovely talking to her. We got to talk to her some more later, which is when we took that photo that we Instagrammed and tweeted. But we had a nice time talking to her. Yeah.
Well done.
I realized
doing
the end
a
of
recap
sentence.
Of red carpet interviews.
Yes, I realized the end of that sentence. I was like, oh boy, huh?
But again, we want to express, and just because, and it's hard to build. Here's what was nice. Here's what I will say about the red carpet interviews, which was so lovely to me. Aside from Liz Torres, who's in her own world in a good way,
yes.
I would say, every single person we talked to knew who we were
yeah.
before they talked to us. So before Liza got on mic with us, she was talking to the outlet to the left of us, a little to the left of us. And
the sexual outlet.
Yeah, the sexual outlet. And she said, oh, I just realized that's one of the Gilmore guys.
I just realized that this is one of the Gilmore guys.
This is, both of them. We're both here.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going? In the middle of her interview with someone else, which it, like,
I hope they have to use that audio clip. Like, she drops a really important bomb, and then it's like, oh, that's one of the Gilmore guys. Anyway, season 8.
Yeah. And that was the same with Matt, which I, like all of them, they knew. And so even when you start from that place, so it's not just, hey, we're two random a-holes that don't know anything about you guys, but it's like, oh, hey, I've heard about you guys. Like, that is a nice trust building. And that's what we feel like we're doing here, is just like building their trust, hopefully, and our sincerity
yes.
by asking them if they like queso.
Nothing but the hard hitting.
Yeah,
stuff.
There's a lot of things at work here.
If we had more time, we would have asked where they think the Malaysian plane is. Nothing but the CNN hard truths.
I mean, but I think without that trust, we probably couldn't have got away with those dummy questions like that.
Yeah, I just imagining trying to talk to someone that didn't know who we were, and they're just like, oh God, it's like some Howard Stern assholes or something.
Yeah. Like, hey, welcome to the Gilmore Guys. Oh, yeah, now let's listen to the next interview. We're the Gilmore Guys live on the carpet with Mr. Danny Weak. No. Mr. Danny Strong
okay.
is here tonight.
We're off to a great start.
Off to
always.
A great start. Now, Danny, when you started working on this show, when you started working as an actor on these iconic shows like Buffy or Gilmore Girls, did you anticipate that we would still be talking about it to this day? By the way, I just want to stop and say that is not a good question.
No, it's not.
Did you
not.
Think we'd still be talking?
We literally,
so dumb.
We were watching people rock down the red carpet and be like, okay, what's another good question? Oh, God. And the thing is, every time we would hear the questions before us, and we were just like, okay, we have to be better than that. Because it was always just like...
What does it feel like?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and we're just
are you
asking
happy
a
to
variation
be here?
On it.
How has it been in Austin? Or, like, where do you get your ideas from? Which
yeah.
is always the standard, like... joke
answer. Yeah, and we can't do it. We can't pull a Marc Maron in two questions, but I think we can do better than what is it. What, did you anticipate working on it for this long?
At least we didn't ask them like season 8 what happens.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that next time. When you act in anything, do you anticipate like this is gonna outlast me, hopefully?
No, you have no idea. But it's very exciting that it seems to me that Gilmore Girls is gonna have a life for many, many, many years to come. That people just love it so much, and new people keep discovering it over and over, new generations of people. So I would not be surprised if it's around for quite a while.
It's definitely going to live forever.
Yeah, just like us. We're all going
to... Forever.
Now, our second question. We only got two questions. We're really pressed for time, but...
It's got to be an important one.
You've made so much great stuff since the show. You've created Empire, or helped co-create Empire. You've written scripts. You're
Game
an Emmy
change,
Award
recount.
Winner. Game Change, recount. Now, the question that's on all of our minds that we'd be remiss to ask is, do you prefer In-N-Out or Taco Bell when it comes to fast food?
Dude, it is a strong pass on both.
Oh,
and I am
well,
sorry.
You heard it here first.
I mean, Chipotle, baby. Chipotle okay. All the way.
You do a burrito bowl? Sweet burrito bowl?
No, I just go tacos.
What is your Chipotle order?
It's usually just chicken tacos.
Okay.
Yeah, but Chipotle's good, and Chipotle's kind of healthy. All I'm saying, and I'm not trying to say the others aren't, but go to Chipotle.
Are you sponsored by Chipotle?
No, man.
What's the Chipotle hat you're wearing?
I speak the truth.
Okay.
Oh, that's the one thing I've learned with working with Lee Daniels all these years, yes. Is you just got to tell the truth, brother.
You got to tell the
and
truth.
And I'm telling the truth. Go to Chipotle.
Oh, my gosh. Gilmore Guys exclusive. Danny Strong for Chipotle. Right. Danny, thank you so much for gabbing
so
with
much.
Us today.
Great to meet you.
Pleasure. Yeah. Hope to see you again. Great that we got to meet you. Here's my favorite part of that is you saying, what is your Chipotle order? Like Tom Cruise saying, did you order the code red in A Few Good Men?
You can't handle my order. This whole court is my order. Yeah, I don't know why it was so like demanding to know, like, give me a receipt.
I think you were activated by the idea of like, it's funny to get into the minutia of like this
right.
Amazing guy's Chipotle order.
Do you get extra chicken? Do you pay for the guac? Do they make you pay for guac? Do you use
do they
your
make you pay for the guac?
If Danny Strong walks into a Chipotle and they know who he is and they're like, hey, love you in Empire, thanks, and you're just like, you know, gonna get a little extra guac, are they gonna be like, you know, it's extra? Or are they gonna be like, hey, for you, Mr. Game Change, it's on the house.
Mr. Game Change. I wish his nickname was Mr. Game Change.
It's so, Danny Strong, a.k.a. Mr. Game Change, a.k.a. Mr. Recount, a.k.a. Empire. Empires. And but a.k.a. the Cookie Man.
Yeah, but Danny was so gracious to us, and we got to talk to him a bunch later.
Yeah.
And he is a consummate gentleman, splitting his time between the coast cities, between New York City and L.A., he's going to be a little more in L.A. now, but because of it, and because he's like a kingmaker of television right now, it might be tough for him to, you know, get an hour with us. But we hope it does happen at some point. But let's go ahead and go to the next interview.
We'll meet at a Chipotle somewhere.
Yeah, well, let's just podcast our just us ordering at Chipotle.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the next one. We have a trio of geniuses coming up, genius
yeah, we
townies.
Do.
We got Yannick Truesdale, Jackson Douglas, and Liz Torres on the red carpet. It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be the greatest. This is going to be our Frost Nixon, I feel like, in a way.
Someone is about to admit to a scandal.
Hey,
hello.
Guys. Hello. Good to see you, Yannick. Kevin, that's my co-host, Demi.
How are you?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello, Liz. I'm Kevin. So nice to meet you.
I'm
so
Demi.
Lovely. Jackson,
nice
good to see you
Demi.
Again.
Demi.
Yes.
Nice to see you.
So we're here live on the red carpet doing a live Gilmore Guys podcast. We're here with Yannick Truesdale, Liz Torres, and Jackson Douglas.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
We're waving the microphone in their faces. Yes. So... You know, our listeners are so curious. You guys are so revered. The townies, Michelle, Miss Patty, and Jackson are such iconic characters. And people are so curious about behind-the-scenes stories. Like, are there any fun or, any interesting memories you guys have from working on the show? Anything like pranks or behind-the-scenes stuff or particularly good days that you guys had?
I remember going to the commissary, and it was closed.
Oh, no.
And we had to be fed, and I sneaked out of the studio on the floor of the van so they wouldn't see me past the guards.
What?
And I got a hamburger with Edie. Remember Edie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The truck ran over her leg.
Oh, no.
And I got a hamburger, so I ate.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be hard to top, guys.
Live, right? It's live. Yeah, it's live. Me, I had...
No, it's not streaming.
Oh, I had agreed to do an interview with a Canadian TV show.
CBC?
And I forgot who it was. But anyway, it was like the Entertainment Tonight of Canada, but I knew the guys. and I kind of gave the approved for them to be on set.
Uh-huh.
And once they left my interview, they went on their own and tried to film Friends actors.
No. Oh,
yes, and they got
no.
Arrested and kicked off. And then I got a call from publicity. They said, did you really know those people? I said, like, I did. But I'm like, I felt terrible. But that was like a behind the scenes.
So amazing. You invited those people on the set.
So if I met you on the set, you can't embarrass me.
Oh, no, sir. I would never
do
it.
Wait, on the set?
On what set?
Why would you be on the set again?
What set, guys? Now, we're pressed for time. We only have two questions to go to. So the Gilmore listeners, they have, you know, they're so curious about your process and your time on the show. So we have to ask you this question. What is your favorite Beatles song? The following answer is better than my wildest dreams could have imagined to this dumb question, what's your favorite Beatles song?
Yeah.
So this is from Liz Torres.
I used to open my nightclub act with Yesterday.
Oh,
and
wow.
I would be behind the curtain and I would have a pillow in my belly and I would be pregnant. And I would start singing off stage Yesterday. All my troubles seem so far away. And then I would appear with the belly. Now they look as though they're here to
see. Oh, my goodness.
And I opened for Tony Bennett and Liz Minnelli, and I did that opening. And that's my favorite Beatles song because I got a paycheck.
Yeah.
I got memories attached to that song.
It was funny.
It's Just a Shot Away. That would be it.
Oh.
Just a Shot. Oh, yes. Give Me Shelter.
Give Me Shelter.
Rigby, Eleanor Rigby.
Where's that question coming from?
Us.
I'm curious.
From us.
We love the Beatles. We got a second Beatles podcast. No, we don't.
We don't. That's just a joke. But thank you guys so much for talking with us.
Thank you. Liz Torres is like a masterful storyteller. Honestly, if she had a show where she literally, if someone was just like, I would love to see her do ASCAP monologues, because I'd be like, I don't care about the improv.
Oh,
come back,
gosh.
And just do a tell us about, I say corn, she's like, corn. Oh, that reminds me of when I grew up on a farm. She just for an hour would like captivate an audience, I'm sure.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We actually got to, should we save this for the second half?
We'll save it for the second half.
Okay. Yeah. Well, but yes, she's so wonderful. We love her so much.
Yeah. And her talking about not the commissary being closed is somehow the most captivating thing in the world.
Yes.
So yeah, it was great to hear from all of them. Hopefully we didn't ambush them too much with that dumb Beatles question.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the next one. We're live on the red carpet doing a live episode of Gilmore Guys with the one.
Okay, I've heard about
the
you
only.
Guys.
Oh, is that true?
The stars, okay.
Good things,
wow.
I hope.
All good things,
you're,
man.
You're the star.
Wow, what an honor.
Oh,
what an
honor for us.
Oh, thank you.
Would you like to get a photo with us?
Please.
Oh, boy.
Right now, stop the interview. Let's do it.
Now, Matt, when you played Logan on the show, you were coming in at a time where there had been such a precedent for Rory's boyfriend and for other guys on the show that created iconic characters. What was the kind of pressure you felt like as an actor in prepping for that sort of role, where you, in a way, kind of had the challenge to live up to those guys? Not setting him up for success here, by the way.
Look, you came after two greats. Did it suck? Did it suck being the worst of the... No, I'm kidding.
No,
that's not
wasn't.
True at all.
Okay.
I was going to say, I kind of wanted to even just like say up top, like, now, I don't know your character. Do you think... just like set up a question by saying, like, I don't know who you are.
So are you like a millionaire playboy?
Who do you play? Are you Rory's brother?
You know, the way that I saw it was that Logan was always somebody who lived in the moment, and what I thought that character could bring out of Rory was a sense of adventure and live in the moment. There's an episode called You Jump, I Jump Jack where he says...
It's a classic, yes.
Okay, well, thank you for saying
You're
that.
You're so welcome.
She, you know, he says to her, you know, you got to live in the moment, you have to be more adventurous, you have to take more risks, not only for your personal life, but for your work as well, because she was considering being a writer.
Of course.
So if Logan kind of had that attitude of living in the moment and sense of adventure, then that really kind of takes away all the pressure in terms of living up to anything else.
Exactly.
In terms of other boyfriends or the standard of the show, in terms of coming in season five. So I had to kind of think like Logan thought. So it really freed me of a lot of that kind of pressure, because he would never feel that. As
yes.
you guys know, he would never feel that pressure. He would just cruise through life. So that's kind of the way that I approach that.
Well, I tell you what, I got to admit to you, people talk Team Dean, Team Jess, Team Logan. I'm firmly in Team Logan camp.
It is.
And I
got
to admit it to you.
He is. It's true.
Yes. Wow. Stated on the record multiple times. So
thank
put that
you.
In your bank.
Why? Why?
Why? I think he was the best for Rory. He interacted with her in a way that brought out the best things in her. And he was flawed, like every character on the show was. But his flaws were overcome by all the strengths that he had in terms of how he empowered her to do better and be better in a lot of ways. I said he brought out the best things in her. He also brought up some real bad things in her, too.
Which like when
we'll
she starts
to.
Doing cocaine because he says it's cool.
Yeah. Yale people do cocaine, Rory.
And I think what's ironic in the end is that I think that what I was trying to bring out was Logan pushing Rory to take more chances like we talked about.
Right.
And go into the unknown. And then I think in a lot of ways the reason she refused his proposal is because she wasn't comfortable with the unknown before and now she was. And so in a lot of ways I think that decision had a lot to do with Logan in terms of pushing.
Right.
So I think that if there was anything that Logan brought out in Rory was that sense of confidence in herself. And that's what I liked about the character.
Yeah. Well, it's beautifully played and you did a beautiful job.
Oh,
and one final question the Gillies are dying to know. What is the best thing you think you ate at the craft services table on set?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, the classic.
Absolutely.
Right.
Anything
on.
Special about it or just classic good PB&J?
Crunchy peanut butter.
Ooh.
Crunchy.
High-end crunchy peanut butter on the Gilmore Girls set.
Heavy on the peanut butter and light on the jelly.
All right. That's a classic Matt Zuckery recipe you guys can take to the bank. Matt, thank you so much for talking
thank
with
you.
Us. It's a pleasure. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Of course.
For the listeners, rest assured that since I haven't met Logan yet, I was covering my ears the entire interview.
It's true. And Matt thought it was weird.
Well, yeah.
What a prince.
He really is.
He was just like glowing and such a just a shiny dime of a human being,
yeah.
I would say.
Trina Padalecki looks like, you know how, oh my God, he just removed his beanie and his hair swished around in this way that's like.
I think Demi's questioning the sexuality
right now. I'm not questioning it.
I'm
all
convinced.
In. And you know how in movies, sometimes they cast someone to be like the movie star in the movie?
Right.
That's what Jared Padalecki looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an insult? No, that's not
no,
an insult.
No, that's, I'm saying
he's a gorgeous man.
Yes.
He's a gorgeous man.
People are gathering on the other side of the street, and it reminds me of the start of The Birds.
Aw, this is a really nice. It really is genuinely touching, I think, for a lot of people. You hope for most people in the artistic profession, you hope for, like, you just hope to be satisfied with what you do. And
right.
Then when you get something that's, like, acclaimed across the board and beloved and generates love even this long after it gets, you know, canceled and it's not on the air anymore, that's got to be such a good feeling. It's like the Beatles or something.
Speaking of the Beatles, this, like, people standing across the street reminds me of when the Beatles performed on Top of the Roof.
Yes.
And there were people just coming from other roofs
Absolutely.
To see from a distance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing right now. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
This is their get back
it's
moment.
It's beautiful.
It's their comeback.
It's the comeback, baby.
All right, Ringo. Well, how did you get here?
Oh, I'm on the mic now. Can I do red carpet for the Gilmore guys?
Will somebody take the mic away from Ringo?
Should we say, I'm here with one of the horses from the stable of hot young WB boys?
I don't think they'll get that.
They won't. They 100% won't.
So they'll just be like, did you call me a horse? I'm sorry. The phrase WB boys still makes me laugh because it sounds like you're saying B-boys.
WB boys. B-boys.
These WB boys.
Can we have an interview, please?
Keiko, please, Keiko.
Can we please?
No.
Okay, we're here with Hip Allen, the band from Gilmore.
Hip Allen.
It's Hip Alien. If you're going to come to these events, I would appreciate if you do your research.
You know them from such hits as the Greatest American Hero theme song.
You know them as the White Stripes.
Yes.
Guys, truthfully, what is one song that you would, as a band, either in a revival or just doing a show, that you would like to cover sometime? What has been discussed?
They don't appreciate my appreciation for Shake It Off. I brought
that
up for rehearsal. It's a great song,
yes.
And it can be reinvented.
Who said no?
You guys waved that off as soon as
I didn't say no.
Waved off one of mine.
Was it your imaginary friend that did that?
Hep Alien is fighting. Hep Alien is fighting.
Fight.
We break up every week and get back together on Monday.
That's great. You're like the Rolling Stones.
You're like Ross and Rachel. It's a functional, dysfunctional relationship.
You heard it here first.
What are some of your other favorite fake bands in fiction and TV and movies?
talking Stillwater and Almost Famous or Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap. I keep saying it. I think that we could go head to head with Spinal Tap.
I would watch This Is Hepalien.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh, hey.
We need to make that happen. Even if it's just as a music video.
Get it trending. Hashtag This Is Hepalien.
I love you right now.
Oh my God.
Hashtag This Is Hepalien. We should Periscope that, man. Yes. All right, and then final question. What is the best thing you guys ate on set? Craft services, we're talking catering.
That's a question for me. Okay. Am I right?
Yes, he can't stop talking about what he eats on set.
That was like that was one of the big highlights for me, John Cabrera, working on Gilmore Girls, was I liked the food. Yeah, the New Year's, the Korean New Year's. The food at the Korean New Year's was off the chain.
Was it actual food that they had at the wedding, like edible, you guys were eating in between takes and stuff?
They actually had two sisters that were, they were like the food.
Yeah.
They were like food artists.
Food wranglers or artists.
No, they were like food, and they really took it seriously.
Is it the kimchi? Is that what you, was it the first time you've had kimchi?
I like kimchi too.
I loved the kimchi.
But there were
also some really, really weird, like interesting things that I'd never heard of before.
Have you never eaten Korean food before, Gilmore Girls?
Maybe not.
Oh boy. Well, we're gonna let you guys go before this gets ugly, but final question. Oh no, I already had the final question. Well, we hope to see you back on the stage or in the recording studio very soon, guys. What's the hashtag? What's the official hashtag for Hepalien?
Hepalien Sunset Strip.
Hashtag Hepalien Sunset Strip. All right, guys.
It's better than mine because I had hepatitis alien, and that's not going to work.
Yeah, no.
What about we just shorten it to Hep A?
Hep A.
Hep A. Hashtag Hep A on the Sunset Strip. See you guys.
Goodbye.
Here's what just dawned on me. Well, it dawned on me.
Hep A is a disease.
Yes.
I just realized.
Well, I'm... Uh-oh. I thought it was a cool thing.
I got this Hep A tattoo.
I thought... Well, actually, tell me if I'm... Because I've gotten stuff wrong before. Is Hep Alien a pun on Hep A?
I don't think so.
Like, so Amy Sherman-Palladino didn't not only make this band name an anagram of Helen Pye's name, but also an STD pun?
I want to believe she had, like, a list of anagram names and maybe chose this one because, like, maybe she thought, oh, it reminds me of Hep A, that's funny. But I don't think she set out to be, like, it's got to be a Hep A joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that'd be interesting. That'd be a revelatory moment.
That'd be funny, though.
My niece's adoption party is tonight.
Oh.
So I was like, I care more about Jared Padalecki than my dumb niece.
I was literally just about to ask, oh, are you going?
We should talk about this, because this is true. My niece, beautiful Hannah Paige Porter.
My niece
was adopted a couple weeks ago officially by my brother Kyle Porter. You can follow at Kyle Porter CBS Sports. Or no, it's just at Kyle Porter CBS on Twitter. And he wrote a beautiful piece about adopt parents, really lovely. And I'm missing it tonight to be with these dummies.
So in celebration, we're going to ask each of these people what they believe is the best way to adopt a child.
Oh, wow.
No.
What's the best way to...
What do you look for when adopting a kid?
Steal him. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going? I'm Kevin. So nice to meet
you. Nice to meet you.
So this is Gilmore Guys live on the red carpet, and we're live with Ariel Cabell. Or Ariel Kebble.
Yeah, you got it right.
I do that thing where I mispronounce things on purpose the first time.
Right. It's ironic.
It's ironic.
She said you got it right after you said it twice, and I was just like, oh, wait, which one?
I think it's Kebble.
Okay. Good enough for me.
So Ariel played Lindsay on the show Gilmore Girls.
I did.
And this is an unenviable role. And as an actress, it must be so interesting and such a fun challenge to have to step into this thing where you're the love interest of
a
character.
Did people hate me? Yeah.
Did people hate you?
Oh, hated me.
Oh, no. There were no Team Lindsay
people? And by the way, not that I know of, besides my mom.
Oh.
I moved from Florida and got this role. So this was really my introduction to L.A., to my acting career in L.A., to all of it. So I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm on this amazing show, and it's a family show, and I love it and respect it.
And your parents can watch it.
Yeah, and then everywhere I go, people are like, oh, we hate you. So needless to say, I got used to Hollywood real quick.
We talk about every single episode of this show on our podcast. And we have not had a problem with Lindsay thus far.
Oh, high five.
She's a little moody to Rory, but otherwise she's a perfectly nice young lady. Exactly. No, I do not.
I'm Team Lindsay.
I'm Team Lindsay.
Double high five.
Here at first, the Gilmore guys are Team Lindsay. Do you think we're pandering by telling the actress that we're Team Lindsay?
No, because I don't think we were lying.
I'm not lying in that I don't blame Lindsay for a lot of her emotions and her moodiness.
Right.
Like, it's all, if you're not on Rory's side, if you were following Lindsay, you'd be like, what a nice girl.
Lindsay has no agency as a character that is responsible for Rory or Dean being bad or any sort of conflict in the show.
Sure.
She is just, she's there to be the other woman, basically,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame, but it's also not a fault.
A Shane?
What?
A Shane?
What?
A Shane.
No, I know. I'm saying what as in why.
Well, Jess's last girlfriend
was Shane. Understand.
Okay.
That's like when I say, if I just said look in a word, you said Luke. It's like, not, okay.
Okay.
But yes, a Shane. It's
fair.
It's a down low dirty Shane.
Mm-hmm. We're pressed for time. We only have two questions with you on the red carpet. Okay. So I think the people are dying to know, as Gilmore Girls fans, chicken or beef?
That's amazing. Well, Lindsay says meatloaf.
Meatloaf. Oh, meatloaf every night. Aw, that's a good wife.
Adorable.
Well, we're Team Lindsay. So nice to meet
you. Thank you. Thank you for
Ariel
the ongoing
Kevel.
Support.
Of course. We'll be hashtagging it later on.
I love it.
Yay.
For you on Twitter.
Cool. Thank you. She was a delight.
She really was.
She wasn't on the panel for the show proper, which I guess was like, I don't know how they chose who did what, because there was a lot of people who were only recurring, like Danny Strong on the panel. But I mean, he's notable in his own right, and as is Ariel. But maybe, like, I wonder if they kept her off the panel because it's like, people hate you.
Was Danny Strong ever in the opening credits?
No.
Hmm.
Neither was Liz Torres or Jackson or, you know.
Liz? Huh.
Yeah. No, Liz Torres
wasn't.
True.
Well, was she ever, I don't, I'm trying to figure out how to classify these people. There are people who are like opening, not, they're not in the credits, but like when it goes into the show and credits are still rolling, they're like up
first
there
build.
Yes.
Oh, maybe
Liz Torres definitely is. Jackson definitely is. I'm wondering if Ariel is.
Ariel.
She's also,
she wants to be a part of their world.
Up where they.
She was glowing on the red carpet. By the way,
she was.
She was in the most literal sense of words. Stunning. Let's go ahead and listen to the next one.
Yo!
Hello. Hey, man.
Milo.
Good to meet
What's
you,
up,
finally.
Dad?
This
Milo.
Is my co-host, Demi.
Nice
to meet you.
We're
doing great.
I know we got something to do back in L.A. But
yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. But for now, we're live on the red carpet with Milo Ventimiglia. What is this like? I mean, you worked on this show like 14 years ago. Yeah, forever.
I was 12.
You were 12 years old when they started. You were underage. They broke a lot of union laws having
you
on the show.
Amy doesn't give a fuck, so it's okay.
That we've learned from every panel we've gone to at this festival. But man, going into it, how much do you actually identify with the kind of anger, the rage issues that Jess kind of had, the moodiness?
You know what? I mean, I didn't have any of it growing up. I mean, my mom and dad were the most amazing people. My two older sisters, you know, like, of course, they, you know, threw me in the room and, like, made me play with their Barbie dolls and whatnot and dressed me up like Madonna. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I had nothing but love and hugs and kisses, and that's how I was raised. So understanding this idea of Jess, you know, kind of feeling, you know, disenfranchised from his family and, you know, kind of punctured by, you know, his parents and his father going away and, you know, being ultimately too smart for his own good. You know, I knew none of it. I really knew none of it.
Were you a book guy growing up too, like Jess was? Or?
I read books, read a lot of Cliff Notes.
Yeah. I've read like 4 books in my lifetime, so that's...
I'm like at 6.
All right, well, you got me.
No. But no, I definitely read. I mean, you know, that is the most pure form of imagination and creativity is when you could read a story and build it in your head and you know, that excitement, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, we have so many questions. We only have 2 tonight, but there's so many things. You've had so many iconic roles. We're going to do the whole thing. Oh, this is interesting. There's a van that's blaring some music.
Look, what Kevin's not telling you is, like, we're about to get shot.
That might be true.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome The Wu-Tang Clan.
The last question we had is, do we want to start?
This is like a free concert.
Start freestyling.
I know.
Freestyle. Go.
Mariano, not Stefano. Huh. Oh, yeah. Cool hair. Leather jacket.
I can't even, man.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, I still have that jacket.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, my next question was about that jacket.
Yeah, we have a great question about that jacket. Great question for us means we have a question, and it's relevant right now.
Yep.
You got to wear a leather jacket in Venice. How hot is that?
Well, the good thing is it was made for warm California weather. There was a version of the jacket that I found that I brought to Dan and like, hey, guys, are you cool with this? And Jess was always so punk rock, rock and roll and all that. And they were like, yes, love it. And I think it was like they were having the same ideas. I was having the same idea and it's kind of melded.
Yeah.
And then Brendan Mabin, our costumer, was like, you're going to be hot as fuck.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're getting one made that's a little lighter, not quite heavy leather, so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I still have it. It's hanging at my house.
All right, mystery solved. So you weren't, like, dying while
filming.
I'll bring it
when we sit down in L.A. I'll bring it.
Terrific. We'll take turns.
Like, put
it's
going to
be amazing.
Like, my, this jacket is not as cool as what I saw on camera.
We'll all be Jess for one moment.
The camera adds 10 cool points.
10 cool points. All right, Maya, thanks so much for talking with us. We'll do it again.
Looking forward to seeing you guys
in LA. It'll be awesome.
All right,
thanks,
all right,
man.
Guys, take care.
Uh-huh. That was Milo Ventimiglia, who some of you guys know as Uncle Jesse on
Full House.
On Full House.
See.
And he did. I think what I was struck by most by this exchange was Liz Torres pretty much is Miss Patty, right?
Right.
Milo is not Jess.
He's the anti-Jess.
He was like, he was one of the funniest people we talked to.
Yeah, he's also a prince.
Yeah, he was like, like he was like rolling with it.
And
I
like,
really enjoyed, and not that I was like shocked like I'm a dummy who thinks all the characters are the actors are the characters, but it was still like a nice, not surprise, but you know, whatever.
And like, obviously people on TV are generally good looking people, but seeing Jared Padalecki and Matt Zuckery and Milo in person was just like this weird thing of realizing like, oh, handsome TV people are in front of us and they're more handsome in person.
Yep.
Yeah. And like, I was overreacting about Jared Padalecki, but really he is just a very good looking guy.
And so tall.
Very
as
tall.
As Richard Gilmore would say. He's tall.
How tall are you? Why? Want to dance?
No. But it's nice to be asked. Or appreciate the offer.
Yeah, such a great exchange.
Anyway, here's what happened after this. And then we'll talk about this. So Jared Padalecki's coming up on the red carpet. Hey, can you help me get this out of my... Just, can you reach in there real quick?
Yeah.
Just like, hang on. Yeah, so it's... Hang on, it's just... Hang on, it's like, I think it's in the left pocket.
Okay.
Okay, so Jared...
We missed him.
We screwed up. Jared, this always happens every time we do a red carpet for Gilmore Girls' 15th anniversary. Oh, my gosh. We screwed... Daddy made a boo-boo. Daddy made a big boo-boo. So, what ended up happening, and I don't know why it was, but... Well, actually, I do. I think it was just scheduling. The red carpet went way over time.
Yeah.
Because it started like a half hour. It might have been 45 minutes late.
By the time we talked to the last person on the red carpet, it was about 7:30. And the screening was supposed, or the panel was supposed to start at 7.
Yeah. So it was way over time. And so what ended up happening with the last batch of people, which of course happened to be Alexis, Lauren, Scott, Kelly, Jared, they just ushered them in.
Yes.
So, maybe our one shot to talk to Alexis didn't quite happen. Oh no, I hold out hope that may one day.
We joked so much about them both being on the show, and when we did the red carpet, we were thinking, oh, okay, it's kind of weird, but this might actually happen. And
right.
Then they just went, like, they ushered them right past us.
I think before the show is over, at least one half of the Gilmore Girls will come on. Dare I say...
They'll never do it, Kevin.
Two-thirds of the Gilmore Girls
Kevin,
will come.
It'll never happen.
If there's one thing I know, it'll never happen.
Or I'll eat my hat. Wink!
Oh, boy. Well,
can you hear my eye blink in there?
Yes, we can all hear the eye blink.
Wink!
Damn it. Let's leave it at that for now, and we'll pick it up next week. And we're going to talk about the actual reunion. We'll talk about our thoughts on it. And then I'll talk about some other things that happened during the weekend. But for now,
this has been our recap of, but for now, this has been our recap of ATX Festival. Chapter one.
Wink!
I don't know what that indicates.
Sorry, every time I blink my eyes, that happens. So it's a little bit of
wink,
a...
Wink!
Wink!
Wink! It's like in the Pixar movies, if you notice in Toy Story, the characters always blink left to right. They never blink simultaneously. It's weird.
Oh, that's so weird.
It is weird. It's a choice.
Pixar was weird.
Anyway, guys, go see Inside Out.
Yeah.
It's in theaters today. Friend of the show, Amy Poehler, is in it.
Kevin, we're not supposed to tell them that Amy Poehler's doing the show.
Oh, no. We'll see you next time, guys. Bye.